Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to read one verse, and that is verse 1. This is a peculiar scripture here, and the word of the Lord says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." And there is four scriptures in all of Paul's writings that refer to himself as the prisoner of the Lord, or as the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:1, and if you look over in Ephesians 4:1, he says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Philemon chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul said, "Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Philemon chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul said, "Yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ." Amen. And you look at these scriptures, and the major thought that most people think about this scripture is he's talking about his bonds for the gospel. Amen. Where he was thrown in prison for the gospel's sake. That is the major opinion, you know, that most hold. But I was reading these scriptures the other day, and I appreciate the opportunity to preach here tonight. I am not much of a preacher, but the Lord being my help, the Lord may, you know, be speaking to someone here tonight about what I'm going to talk about. Now, I appreciate Brother Johnson asking me. I appreciate this camp. You know, I've been going here for several years, and I appreciate all the memories around the altars. You know, now I'm a young married, and the Lord has called us full-time into the ministry last year. It's been over a year now, and I quit my job, and the Lord's just doing miracles for us. Yeah. Amen. When you step out in faith, yeah, the Lord is going to move for you. You know, although it seems like, you know, you don't know when the next bill is going to be paid. Amen. It may seem like you don't know where you're going next. Amen. But if you step out in faith, the Lord's not going to leave you hanging out in the open air. And I'm so thankful for that truth. But here, just for the next few minutes, I'm going to preach on the prison house of hope. The prison house of hope. As I was saying, many people believe that Paul was preaching in these scriptures and talking of his bonds, his physical bonds, and being imprisoned in prisons and thrown in prison for the gospel's sake. And we all know what he suffered, how he was beaten with stripes, with rods, stoned, shipwrecked in the deep. You know, he was a man that suffered much. And so, you know, our first indignation is to see and to believe that he is speaking physically, amen, of his bonds for the Lord. All through the New Testament, in his writings, he speaks of his bonds for Jesus Christ. But I want to try to bring out something here in the spiritual sense. A prisoner for Jesus Christ in a spiritual sense. And that's what I'm talking about, the prison house of hope. If you'll just raise your hands and ask the Lord to have his way in the remainder of this service.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your spirit that we've already felt. Lord, we thank you for your anointing, Lord. I ask that you'd anoint your word here tonight, Lord, and move with your anointing, O God, and bring it forth to our hearts, O Lord, and open up our ears and our understanding, O Lord, to thy word this night. Meet the needs, O God, and we thank you for it, and we give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Hallelujah, in your name.
Amen. We see in these four scriptures that Paul refers to himself as a prisoner of the Lord or of Jesus Christ. And we see, I want to read a scripture. This is my favorite scripture, possibly in the whole Word of God, and that is Jude 24. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." And that scripture, and the word "keep" in that scripture, if you just look up Webster's definition, what Brother Joey Hyatt was talking about, you look up Webster's definition of keep, and it says, of prison. Let me read this first. I'm sorry. Webster's definition of prison is a place or state of restraint, a building or other place for the safe custody of those committed there by lawful authority. Say amen if you heard that. Let me read it again. A place or state of restraint, a building or other place for the safe custody of those committed there by lawful authority. Now, I look at that definition, and that doesn't always mean that a prison is bad. Amen. Our first impression, and I appreciate the Sailor family and their prison ministries. I appreciate what the Lord's doing through them. Amen? And I appreciate how lives are being changed. But in a spiritual sense, there can be a prison for the good. Amen? There can be a prison for the good. And that's what I'm talking about here in the next few moments. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. That word keep means to keep or preserve from danger or harm. To guard or watch. And it simply means a prison or hold. Amen? And so I look at these scriptures and I begin to realize, and there's many other scriptures that I'm going to be getting to, but I begin to realize that the Apostle Paul was not just talking about his physical imprisonment in a prison, in a, you know, in those times, I imagine the prisons were very much degrading, you know, compared to the prison of today. You know, there was no, you know, comforts. You know, amen? I know that the prisons today are very bad, but I believe back those days, you know, it was probably just some dark hole somewhere. You know, with fed on the bread and water of affliction. Amen? You know, he suffered many physical things, and he was a prisoner in the physical sense. But through all the things that he went through, he had the faith to be able to say that I, the Apostle Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ. And he was speaking of a spiritual sense that he was a prisoner bought and paid for through Jesus Christ's blood. And so therefore he was a prisoner in the prison house of hope. Hallelujah. Feeling good already. Many people believe that he was speaking of his physical state. You know, and he was many times in these scriptures, when he would write, he was in prison at the time. And someone else would write for him, and they would take the message to the church. And his words, through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, are still speaking to us today. And I began to read this, and it began to inspire me. If we could just realize that there is a prison house of hope for each and every one of the blood-bought Christians. Amen. Jesus Christ shed His precious blood. And we are going to look at some other scriptures to where we, you know, we are all born into sin. Amen. Can I hear an amen? We are all born with the same level into sin. We are born of the wages of sin is death. Romans 3:23. Amen. It tells us that all are born sinners. Amen. We have all sinned to come short of the glory of God. But when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, something changes in our lives. Amen. Paul was speaking in a spiritual sense of an arrested heart. Brought into safe custody, if we remember the definition of prison, a place of safe custody for prisoners. He was speaking of an arrest that was made by the Spirit of God that arrested his heart and captured him in such a sense that it didn't matter how many stripes they put on his back, he was still going to preach the gospel. It didn't matter how many times they'd thrown him in a physical jail and his body suffered physical pain. It didn't matter to him because he was still going to preach the gospel because his heart had been arrested by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And his cause was to preach that gospel, liberating souls that were lost. Amen? He had a cause driving him. He had a cause driving him. And every time he was beaten, and every time he was thrown in a physical jail, he thought, I am a prisoner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I must needs preach this gospel no matter what the cost. Though it take everything that I have and though it take my life at the end, I must needs preach this gospel. And that's exactly what he did. Amen. He left us a perfect example of a happy and joyful prisoner. Amen. A prisoner in the prison house of hope. He had been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ and he brought into safe custody in this prison house of hope through forgiveness and through the mercy and grace of God. He became a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Psalm 69, verse 33. The Bible said, For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not His prisoners. The Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not His prisoners. It's not a prison like we are used to thinking of. Amen? Where men and women are sent to pay their time for the crimes that they committed. We realize that we cannot pay our time for the sins that we committed. Amen? We cannot do anything, amen, that justifies what we were born into. We were born lost, but Jesus Christ paid the price. Amen. He paid the price that we could have freedom from the law of sin and death. He paid the price so that we could say, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am redeemed into the prison house of hope. And I have a future through Jesus Christ my Lord. I no longer have to say that I am a sinner. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And He paid the price. the Scripture tells us that these are the prisoners that this Scripture is speaking of. They are the prisoners of God, through despiseth not His prisoners. And this shows us here that they are free from sin. They have no more sin in them because we know that God despises sin. Amen? Sin, the carnal mind is enmity with God, and He despises sin. So when this Scripture says that He despiseth not His prisoners, that's talking about a spiritual prisoner. That's talking about a blood-bought saint that is washed in the blood of the Lamb and that has been taken from the clutches of sin and death and has been placed into a new cell. Amen? That has no bars because there is no reason for no bars because we do it out of love. Amen? We serve out of love. We stay in this prison house out of love for our Savior that paid the price for our redemption. Amen? It is a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. It is a new prison house, and that's what we're getting at. Romans chapter 6, you can be turning to Romans chapter 6.
Yes, sir.
Everyone would turn there with me. I'll be starting at verse 6. I was thinking, as we were headed down here, I saw one of the POW, or MIA's, flag flying on a house. Anybody ever seen one of those? It's black and it has a silhouette of a man, his head, and it says POWMIA, Prisoners of War and Missing in Action. It's symbolizing that we will never forget them. Those that were missing in action or those that were prisoners of war is our symbolization that we remember them and we are thankful for the cost, the price that they paid. Amen, for our liberty. And I think about, in a spiritual sense, amen, you know, every one of us was born, you know, like I said, like Romans 3:23 says. We were born needing a Savior. Amen? We were born in need of salvation. Everyone that is ever born is in need of a Savior. And many times they don't even know it. Amen? They don't even realize what they need, but they need a Savior. And I think about that, and when we become this blessed thing called a Christian, and we come into new life through Jesus Christ, and He watches us with His precious blood, we are no longer captives of the flesh. We are no longer servants unto sin. Amen? We are no longer in the clutches of Satan. Amen? We are no longer the servants of Satan. We are servants of righteousness. We are prisoners of war in Jesus Christ. Amen? We are His prisoners. We are His prisoners because we love Him. And we want to serve Him for the rest of our lives. No matter what the cost, no matter what the price that we have to pay, because we serve out of love for what He has done for us. And that's it in a nutshell. That's Christianity in a nutshell. That we serve and we're willing to lay down every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and we're ready to run with patience because we love our Savior. And we love Him for what He's done. And we love Him because He is worthy and we're unworthy. Amen. Romans chapter 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, then henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. And skip down to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey. That to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Ye become the servants of righteousness. And skip down to verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things, whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin, and become servants of God, ye have the fruit unto holiness, and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a passage of Scripture. Amen. What an enlightening passage of Scripture to realize that no more are we servants of death. No more are we servants of sin that leads unto death, but henceforth we shall serve in newness of life. In Jesus Christ we shall be servants unto righteousness, which means that no longer are we in the cell of prison, the prison house of death. No longer are we in the prison house of sin. But when Christ paid the price, He opened us up and He freed us. Amen? And we have come into newness of life in Jesus Christ. And we can say, no, I don't want to go back to the things of this world. No, I don't want any more part of that old prison house, because I am dwelling with my Savior. I am dwelling in His presence, and I am reaping the fruits of His holiness and His righteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was born a prisoner unto sin, but God be thanked. I said, God be thanked that one day at 9 years old I gave my heart to the Lord. And He changed my life from then. And all through my teenage years, He kept me. You know, when everybody was doing this and I wanted to do that, He prodded me. He dealt with me. His still small voice was drawing me. No, you don't need to do that. No, come this way. Draw near unto me. Me and my wife were talking the other day. I was saying, and it's kind of convicted me. It kind of pricked my heart. I was telling her how when I was 14 years old, the Lord used to deal with me to fast and to draw nigh unto Him. And I would fast for 4 or 5, 6 days. Just a 14-year-old boy, and I'm not boasting in any wise, because I need to get back to that state. Amen? And it's not in the fast, I know that, but we need to crucify this flesh. Amen? We need to lay aside this flesh, and whatever it takes, and whatever, you know, when the preacher steps on your toes, praise God for it. Amen? Praise God for it, and lay aside that weight, and go on and serve in love your Savior that died for you, because He has given His all for you. Amen? He gave His life's blood, that we could be washed, and so that we could have no more part of this flesh. So that we could have no more part of the prison house of death. But we could be arrested by His Spirit. Is anybody getting what I'm saying here tonight? Am I just talking in metaphors or anything? I feel like I'm just confusing myself. But the Lord laid this on my heart. A prison house of hope. It's something that it's hard to be understood by our carnal minds. Because we don't understand God's love. We don't understand His mercy, and that He has prepared a place for us that we can dwell in safety. Amen? Psalms tells us that He is our high tower. He is our refuge that we can run into and be safe. He is a place of defense. He is a place of refuge. Amen? As I was talking about the prison house of hope in the old times. Amen? In the times this country had not been founded very long. And they had fights, and they had wars, and they had conflicts taking over the territories of this nation. And they would have a fort for several miles that everyone that lived in that area knew of that fort. Amen. And if there was any conflict that came, they fled to the fort. Amen. It was a fort of defense, but they would flee to the fort, and they would all get inside the fort's gates, and they would close the gates. And they would lock the gates, and they would barricade the gates. Amen. And everyone was instructed not to go out. Amen. If you fear for your life, if you want to live, don't go out. Don't go out of the fort's premises. Don't go out of the fort's boundaries. Amen. Kind of like what he was speaking about today. Stay inside the fort. Stay inside the safety of the walls of the fort. And so it no longer was a fort of defense, but it was a prison house of hope. Amen. If, as long as they stayed inside that fort's walls, they were safe. Amen. And then, and the enemy would come and they would bombard. Amen. But they had safety inside those walls. And that's kind of the way Jesus Christ has done for us. Amen. Sin will seek you as long as you live. Amen. You'll never be above sin. You'll never be above the devil tempting you. Can I hear an amen? Amen. He's going to tempt you, and He's going to try to get you to fall until the day that you depart and go to eternal life. He's going to be after you. Because He walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom He may devour. And it doesn't matter if you're young, it doesn't matter if you're old, it doesn't matter if you've been in this for 5 minutes or 50 years. He's still trying to seek who He may devour. Amen? And if as long as we're inside the safety of the walls of this prison house that Christ has provided for us, amen, He can do us no harm. Amen? He can do us no harm if we decide to stay. Amen? We must choose to stay within these walls. And the way that you stay is through obedience to God's Word. The only way you can stay inside these walls is if you obey this Word. The moment that you begin to transgress God's Word, you are pushed outside of His safety. And then the devil can have his way with you. But God forbid. God forbid. I'm going to read a few more scriptures. I'm almost done. Psalms 102. Verse 18 through 20. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord. For He hath looked down from the height of His sanctuary. From heaven did the Lord behold the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death. Amen. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that when we were while we were yet sinners, amen, while we were yet arrested by the law of sin and death, while we were yet clothed with sin, Christ died for us. Amen. And He paid the price, and He heard our groanings. Amen. He heard our pain and our suffering of an afflicted heart. You know, amen, the worst life to live is the life of a sinner, the life of a hypocrite, the life of a backslider. Amen. There, you've never seen so much turmoil. You've never seen so much heartache. You know, people think that it's hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a sinner. Amen. The pleasures of sin last for a season, but then, after it's all worn off, the devil will drive you. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. So while we were yet sinners, Christ heard our groanings, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed unto death. Amen. Psalms chapter 146. Starting at verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. And then he says, the Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them up that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. Amen. I am so thankful. I am so thankful that He has loosed the bands that once held me tight. He has freed the shackles have fell off my feet, and I am free to praise God. No longer am I bound by habits, no longer am I bound by grief, no longer am I bound by discouragements or sorrow, because I know that in Christ Jesus I can have freedom. Amen. In Christ Jesus I can have joy. In Christ Jesus I can have peace like I cannot find in this world. Amen. I can't find any of that in this world, but I can find it in my Savior. Amen. I can find it in Him and in His hope that He has provided for me. Hallelujah. Could we all stand?